now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to focus on the eternal, unending, and frequently fraught confrontation between people of faith and people who put their faith in secularism, in what they call reason, in what they call freedom from religion. Today is an anniversary, marks an anniversary of one of the great battlefields in that conflict. That would be the Scopes Monkey Trial nearly 100 years ago that still lives on in the imagination of lots and lots of people in the West. What was it really about, and what is going on today in the struggle between what people say is a struggle between science and religion? Well, what's going on today, it seems to me, is not that we have lots and lots of drooling, knuckle-dragging, tobacco juice-spewing religious fanatics, but we are plagued in this country by militant secular fanatics who will brook no opposition whatsoever or even listen to reason. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. This is our Science and Culture Hour. And I am joined once again by John West of Discovery Institute. John, always great to have you with us.
Michael, it's great to be here.
And John is the author of Darwin Day in America, and he's Associate Director of Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. And tell us, first of all, about the big anniversary that you're observing at the Center for Science and Culture.
Well, on this past Sunday was actually the decision day for the Scopes trial, which was in 1925. And this is sort of the archetypal trial that was supposed to pit religion versus science. High school teacher John Scopes was prosecuted for teaching human evolution. And then it was later popularized in this film, Inherit the Wind, which is how I think it has had this continuing legacy of really twisting anyone who wants to raise scientific-based objections, say, to Darwin's theory or to think that there's evidence of design, gets stigmatized because of this legacy of this trial, which often is actually completely misunderstood.
Well, one of the things that's misunderstood is I've seen the movie, and it's a fine movie, and I think it's all based on the work of Meyer Levin, right? I mean, who wrote the original material. But regardless of who was responsible for it, the fictionalized version of the characters in Inherit the Wind, I know they call the William Jennings Bryan becomes Matthew Harrison Brady.
Yeah.
And the Clarence Darrow character, they never acknowledge the fact that Clarence Darrow was not only a free thinker and a very fine trial attorney, he was also one of America's leading socialists.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I mean, William Jennings Bryan was the leading left-wing figure, too. I mean, the actual facts of that are really fascinating. That doesn't come out in the film, which portrays it as this great persecution. Now, I'm all for teaching evolution and teaching human evolution, so I think that was misguided what Tennessee did back then. But the fact of the matter is, no one was really upset that John Scopes was teaching it. This was hatched, actually, Ed Larson's Pulitzer Prize-winning history book actually tells the story of how the town fathers, they were facing an economic depression, so they basically hatched this prosecution because the ACLU was looking for someone to prosecute a teacher so they could raise a case. And they did it for economic reasons to basically get the economics up. But they weren't upset with Scopes. Actually, after the trial, they invited him back to be a teacher again. But he wanted to go to graduate school. So even all the theatrics, really, there wasn't much persecution going on.
Well, wait, but Scopes was only the first of tens of thousands of teachers across America who were persecuted and prosecuted for teaching evolution, right?
No. Yeah, no, you would think so. But it was really more...
How many people would you say in the last 30 years have been prosecuted for teaching evolution?
Try zero. Yeah.
I would think it would be zero, because don't you think we would hear about it? I mean, you think the ACLU might make something of it, or...
Yeah, you would think so. The other irony of it is the actual textbook Scopes wasn't even sure that he used, but if he had used it, today the ACLU and certainly the NAACP and other groups would go to file a lawsuit to stop it from being used, because the section on evolution in Hunter's Civic Biology actually had more about eugenics and getting rid of the lower population. And actually, it talks about the five races of mankind and how the highest is the white Caucasian race. Today, if a teacher tried to use this in his classroom, they'd be suing to get him out, and I don't think it would be appropriate to use.
Good. We're certainly not endorsing that aspect of Darwinism. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. The great irony today is that there are lots and lots of people who believe that Discovery Institute and the Center for Science and Culture and those of us who believe in the challenge of intelligent design, that all of us want to reimpose laws like the law that applied in Dayton, Tennessee in 1925. Do you know anyone really in this whole movement who wants to restrict the teaching of evolution?
No. In fact, this is so topsy-turvy, as you've already alluded to. Today, the secular fundamentalist, if you will, or the Darwinian fundamentalist, they're the ones who are actually trying to impose a litmus test, both in colleges and in schools. And this whole inherit the wind mentality, I think the way it carries over today, is this portrayal that anyone who disagrees with anything in any scientific consensus must be a jackbooted religious fundamentalist versus the enlightened spokespeople for science. This is the way it twists the debate today. This is sort of people's background knowledge, and it does impact people. You know, in the Kitzmiller versus Dover case a few years ago on intelligent design, the judge actually told a reporter before the trial what was he going to do to give him context for the case. Watch Inherit the Wind. So this phony history lesson that isn't even true to history used to shoehorn in current debates about. And then the way you see it today, I know you've had Stephen Meyer on with his book, Darwin's Doubt, which raises issues about the Cambrian explosion.
His best-selling book, Darwin's Doubt.
New York Times bestseller, Los Angeles Times bestseller. Well, if you go to Amazon.com, just to get a sampling of the sort of criticism of this, theocrat, it should be used for toilet paper. I mean, just on and on ad hominem attacks that come right out of the Inherit the Wind playbook. And this is a tactic people use today to try to avoid the serious evidence-based issues that are really out there and reasons why scientists are actually raising criticism of neo-Darwinism today and actually talking about evidence of design. These are sort of discussion stoppers, this sort of abuse.
The Inherit the Wind movie that you're talking about came out in 1960, and of course it's been hugely influential. I think the stage version as well, which is still performed in high schools across the country. But in Inherit the Wind, talk about the clip that you brought us from this movie.
This is sort of the classic clip that actually ends on the words Inherit the Wind, where you have the fundamentalist crazed minister, Reverend Brown, who is wanting to send to hell anyone who advances Darwin's theory. And, I mean, it's just gives a picture of fanaticism.
Here's Reverend Brown.
Do we curse the man who denies the word?
Yes!
Do we call down hellfire on the man who has sinned against the word?
Yes!
O Lord of the tempest and the thunder, strike down this sinner. Let his soul for all eternity writhe in anguish and damnation.
No! No, Pa! Don't pray to destroy birth!
Reverend Brown, Reverend Brown, I know it's the great zeal of your faith which makes you utter this prayer, but it is possible to be overzealous. Remember the wisdom of Solomon. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind.
That's Frederick March playing the Matthew Harrison Brady, William James Bryan character. We will talk a little bit more about the real cultural meaning of this trial back in 1925 that people still bring up, and the way that the whole recollection of that has been distorted. It was covered by H.L. Mencken, the real trial.
Yes, it was. Well, covered or distorted by H.L. Mencken from the very beginning.
And it's interesting because, as you point out rightly, William Jennings Bryan was nominated as the Democratic nominee for U.S. president three times, 1896, 1900, and 1908. He had just finished serving as Secretary of State for Woodrow Wilson. He was a big liberal, and yet he's treated as some kind of a right-wing horror story in the movie. We will get to that and more of your calls. If you believe that the same kind of intolerance that you heard from the fictional Reverend Brown there in that clip is still alive today, well, then you need to hear about some secular intolerance. Intolerance of what? A religious symbol that's not even Christian. We'll get to that coming up.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, where you can save 15% or even more on car insurance with Geico. Just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is even easier. And it's easy to see why so many people out there who listen regularly to this show look forward every week to our Science and Culture Hour, which is right now with John West. John is the Associate Director of the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. He is the author of several books, including Darwin Day in America, which is about the whole semi-religious cult of Darwinism in the United States of America. Darwin Day is the equivalent of Christmas Day. What day was Darwin born on?
February 12th. We used to celebrate
Lincoln's birthday.
That's right. Now schools are celebrating Darwin instead.
Yeah, I was just thinking Isaac Newton was born on Christmas Day. So that's convenient. Isaac Newton, a man of more resolute faith than Charles Darwin.
Of devout faith. Actually, someone who, partly because he saw design in the universe and believed in God, that actually was an impetus for his scientific research, which sort of goes against the idea that believing in design is somehow a science stopper. For many of the founders of modern science, it was a science starter.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. I wanted to get to this one issue and to broaden the conversation a little bit, because, John, you're here with a very provocative theme, which is the true intolerance today, the true fanaticism, does not come from religious believers. It doesn't come from advocates of intelligent design. It doesn't even come from advocates of creationism. It comes from people who hold on to materialism, to neo-Darwinism, to secularism as a kind of new state religion. And boy, is that ever clear. In the state of Ohio, they have a Holocaust memorial at the state capital. And one of the reasons they have it there is there are a great number of Holocaust survivors who live in the Cleveland area. And so they've put up a Holocaust memorial in the state of Ohio, in Columbus. And the Holocaust memorial, not surprisingly, given the number of Jewish people who died in the Holocaust, has a Star of David on it. And this has now become controversial. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is trying to sue the state of Ohio to remove the Star of David from the Holocaust Memorial. What's the idea here?
Yes, and first of all, I don't think it's been built yet, so it's in the planning stages, and so they're trying to prevent it from being built. And I've seen the architect's schemes, which have been published, and it's a beautiful, austere, somber memorial, and as part of the arch, they have a Star of David to recognize the fact that Hitler was targeting Jews. And yet the Freedom From Religion Foundation has lodged an objection, and as its president said, in their view, this memorial shouldn't single out just one group of people who was harmed during the tragedy. Well, I don't know that I would describe the Holocaust as a tragedy. It was a travesty. It was a horrific thing. I think tragedy is something sort of out of your control that is sad. And then just actually the way he puts it, that you shouldn't single out. Well, Hitler certainly singled out. I mean, this is just preposterous. But yet this shows the extremism of this group, which also your listeners have heard in previous weeks has gone after this physicist professor in the adjoining state of Indiana simply for raising some issues about intelligent design in a interdisciplinary elective course about the boundaries of science. So they want to airbrush any supporter of design out of science. And now they're trying to rewrite history and get Ohio to rewrite history so that the Jews weren't the target of Hitler. This is a form of, as my colleague David Klinghoffer puts it, Holocaust denial light. I mean, it doesn't deny that, I guess, there was a Holocaust, but it is trying to deny that, in fact, it was largely targeted toward the Jewish population.
1-800-955-1776. One of the ironic things here is that the Star of David is not even a specifically religious symbol. It's a symbol that has been used by many, many secular Jews, presumably including some of them who support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. It's been used by secular Jews over the years. The early Zionists, who were very much secular Jews, adopted the Star of David as their symbol. And this is, by the way, it's not even an ancient Jewish symbol. It only became in the medieval period, which is a day before yesterday in terms of Jewish history. That's only when the Star of David developed. So in addition to everything else, these folks are profoundly ignorant. If they're trying to advance, quote, freedom from religion, they may have picked a particularly inappropriate symbol to go after.
You know, that's a good point. And of course, the Nazis forced Jews to wear the Star of David to try to target them for discrimination. And so, again, there are all sorts of really profound reasons why the architect, who's a noted architect, would design this memorial in this way and to censor it. And especially for the reason that you shouldn't have, as the head, Dan Barker, of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, claiming that you can't just single out one group of people who were harmed during what he called this tragedy. I mean, again, this is an outlandish effort to censor and rewrite history.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Let's go to Mark in Brooklyn, New York. Mark, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Dr. John West.
How you doing, Michael? Very important topic. The actual title of Darwin's work was The Origin of Species and the Preservation of Favored Races. The point that your guest made, and there's no accident that it led to the Holocaust. Darwin was a member of the English. I'm not sure that Darwin was a political himself, but it was a political statement to legitimize the white man's burden and all the other things. It ended in the Holocaust. And it's not just one F, and it's an interesting point that your guest made, that the actual textbook that would have been used, of course, is a very, very racist textbook, which Darwinism is. It has no basis in science whatsoever. There's no such thing even as biology anymore in colleges. It has to be called evolutionary biology. And the Piltdown Man theory is, the whole thing is a Piltdown Man theory. Species beget species. There's no evidence of it whatsoever. And it was originally intended, I don't know about Darwin himself, but as a political statement, white man's burden leading to the Holocaust.
Okay, John West, can you explain to people briefly what the reference to Piltdown Man?
Oh, yes. Piltdown Man was for decades supposed to be one of the key missing links. It was the skeleton that was supposed to be a transition between humans and apes. Later, the skull actually was what was found, turned out to be a hoax, a forgery, a composite between. The reason it looked like it was a transition is because someone had actually put together part of a human skull with, I think, part of an orangutan skull and fused it together. Actually, the scandalous thing there was just how many decades it took the scientific community to understand that it was a forgery.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. When we come back, I want to go to this question of public schools. And far from the Scopes trial, which we're celebrating an anniversary of, there are attempts today to limit what kind of teaching in public school. We'll get to that.
Michael Medved.
Four minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, our Science and Culture Hour with the Discovery Institute, today featuring Dr. John West, who is the author of Darwin Day in America. He is Associate Director of the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute. John, what are the most recent attempts by the organized secular militant, fanatical, uncompromising left in the United States of America to try to censor any questions about Darwinism in the classroom?
Well, you know, the current case, which I'll get to in just a moment, Eric Hedin at Ball State University, but in just the last couple of years, we've seen everything from a computer administrator at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab being demoted and losing his job simply for offering some pro-intelligent design videos to his colleagues if they wanted to watch them. If they didn't, that was fine. We've seen, actually after the film Expelled came out, Ben Stein, famous sort of author and actor, was disinvited, in essence, from giving and had to sort of withdraw from being a commencement speaker at the University of Vermont after Richard Dawkins and some other atheists complained. How dare they invite him? And then right now we have this battle going on in Indiana that we've talked about before, where this physics professor with scads of peer-reviewed publications teaches, his name is Eric Hedin, he teaches an upper division interdisciplinary course on the boundaries of science. His crime? He had in his bibliography a few intelligent design articles. He had a few discussions. And for that, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the very same group that's trying to excise the Star of David from this Holocaust memorial, is trying to excise Eric Hedin from being able to teach his class. And unfortunately, the university is taking it seriously and established an investigative team stacked by people who have affiliations with groups that have denounced intelligent design.
But this was not a class in intelligent design, and I read some of the student reviews of that class. He got high reviews from students who disagreed with the fact that the professor was very open about suggesting that he himself is a believing Christian. But you're allowed to say that, aren't you, and if you have academic freedom?
Not according to the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
If you're allowed to say you're a communist, that's okay. But yes. A believing Christian, that's not okay.
Yes. In fact, nearly 10 years ago, the same university was attacked because they have a left-wing professor of peace studies who was actually accused seriously by students of running over their views and being biased. Within 10 days, they roused to his defense. The difference between their defense of his academic freedom and Eric Hedin's is just cavernous.
Yeah, and what the hell is peace studies anyway?
I don't think I'll touch that question.
Okay, let's go, in fact, to Steve in Kent, Washington. Steve, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Oh, hello, good morning. Yeah, I had something to say about, I'm sure you know, Louis Agassiz, who was in one of the first, I think he was the first Harvard
naturalist
professor of natural science there, and his opposition to Darwin, which was, he was a contemporary at the time there, his condemnation of Darwin's theory as atheism, and making the point that God can't be limited to, when he makes, you know, multitudes of species, to making an ape that has to turn into a human. I'm just curious, I know he went down in flames, kind of a bad articulated later years.
Okay, so quick response on Louis Agassiz.
He was a noted critic of Darwin's theory. I think that more interestingly today is the dirty little secret that they don't want you know is the number of scientists and scholars who are basically saying the emperor has no clothes. And, of course, my colleague Stephen Meyer makes this case in his new book, Darwin's Doubt. But ranging from biology to physics, there's a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, Robert Laughlin at Stanford, not a supporter of intelligent design, but wrote this in a book just a few years ago. Evolution by natural selection has lately come to function more as an anti-theory, called upon to cover up embarrassing experimental shortcomings and legitimize findings that are at best questionable and at worst not even wrong.
If you think that even questioning any of these dictates from the cultural elites, that even questioning that is wrong and you have a problem with it, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back with an exciting opportunity for you to participate very directly in continued conversation on issues of intelligent design and materialism coming up.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. The Michael Medved Show, 1-800-955-1776. That's 1-800-955-1776. MichaelMedved.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show with Dr. John West, who is Associate Director of the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute. And if you would like to meet some of the leading scholars in the world on these subjects, including Dr. West, including Dr. Stephen Meyer, including the great George Gilder, author of Wealth and Poverty and so many other important books, we're all going to be together at an insider's briefing for the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute, which is coming up, and it's filling up very quickly, but you still have a chance to join us August 9th and 10th right here in beautiful Seattle. And when I say beautiful Seattle, we do, despite a lot of public attention, get many dozens, it's not hundreds, but many dozens of beautiful sunny days up here in the Northwest. And August 9th and 10th were picked because that is a time where there is a maximal chance that it won't even be cloudy. Just gorgeous sunshine, usually high 70s. It's terrific. Come join us in Seattle. John, what else should people know about this insider's briefing coming up?
Well, as you mentioned, you're going to be there. Your wonderful wife, Diane, is also going to be there for the whole time. For those you've people who have listened and heard about the wonderful new film Flight, which is about intelligent design in birds. We're going to have a biologist and a philosopher, Paul Nelson, who's been on here talking about the science behind that film. As you mentioned, George Gilder, and lots of previews of upcoming events and the real scoop of things that I can't talk about here on the radio about some of these academic freedom cases and what's really happening behind the scenes to try to push back against this effort to censor people.
So I hope folks will sign up and come join us. We are also going to be, of course, because it is over our Sabbath, we're going to be observing the Sabbath, of course, and we were going to be doing a Sabbath program connecting the message of Shabbat with the underlying message that there is something more in life than just materialism, that we amount to something more than a collection of chemicals, which is the key idea, it seems to me, behind a lot of the work that is being done here at Discovery Institute. Go to our website, go to the Science and Culture banner. You can find out all about joining us for this Insider's Briefing in August in Seattle at michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner for Science and Culture. Let's go quickly to Don in Palos Verdes, California. Don, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Thank you, Michael. I love your program.
Thank you so much.
I read with great interest Darwin's Doubt, and it was very persuasive to me. And my question is, how do you get from the Cambrian explosion to where we are now without intelligent design? Because when you look at the fossils and say, okay, how did we get whales and wolves and all these other and humans from those specimens, how it seems to me that the proof of the Cambrian explosion blowing up Darwin's theory also demands that there be something else going on to get from there to here.
John West.
That's exactly right. You need massive amounts of genetic information to program to build those things. And where did that come from? I just like to encourage listeners, if you haven't read Darwin's Doubt, to do it. If you have, like this listener, go to Amazon and review it for yourself, because we're actually one of the ways that, in fact, the Darwinists try to shut down people is by ad hominem attacks, and you'll see that on Amazon of people who haven't even read the book. Go there, vote down reviews that are just ad hominem attacks. Vote up reviews that are thoughtful, and if you've read the book, pro or con, go and put your voice in, because the Darwinists are actually trying to intimidate and bully people actually using Amazon right now.
It's an amazing thing. I mean, the levels of intolerance, and you see, this is one of those things that I think is dramatically unequal, is that people of faith, Darwinism can be completely true, neo-Darwinism. And it doesn't in any way, I think, take away the foundations of either Christian or Jewish faith. However, if Darwinism doesn't work, the foundations of materialism and secularism are blown to smithereens, aren't they?
I think that's exactly right. And that, I think, is a reason why the other side get so emotional on this. I mean, just one brief quote from a college campus, University of Nevada, when their college campus newspaper ran an attack on intelligent design and one of our people responded to defend it. Here are the sort of comments they got. If it was up to me, they, meaning the people of the Discovery Institute, would be put in prison for treason. They are enemies of America, no better than terrorists, and they should be treated like terrorists.
Well, I guess you've never been called a terrorist before, John West. Let's go to George in San Antonio, Texas. George, you're on the Medved Show.
Well, hi. I just wanted to thank you and your guest for the attention that you're bringing to this very important topic. I'm a chemist by training. I spent 16 years in big pharma and clinical research and clinical operations, and have recently felt compelled here in San Antonio to start, I wouldn't call them classes, but they're gatherings on a weekly basis here at a restaurant to have discussions on intelligent design and to look at, really to start looking at things from the sort of opposition's perspective, to look at various applications of evolutionary theory, and then to present the counter argument using Stephen Meyer's curriculum, like Signature on the Cell, Darwin's Doubt most recently, and then some of his other writings. And I just want to share that the group has blossomed from about 5 or 6 to over 30. These are couples.
Hey, you know what? You know what, George, if you would like to send us at our website, send us information about this. We'll post information about how people can contact your group in the San Antonio area, because I bet there are lots of people who are listening to us right now who would like to hear about that. John West?
That's great. Thank you. This is the sort of things that we hope are happening around the country, of the sort of discussions that the other side doesn't want to happen.
And again, it's open discussion. It's not propaganda. It's not intolerance for the other side, because obviously that's the way you learn, is you have competing ideas. Why is the other side so profoundly afraid of it that they want to beat people like John West in jail for treason as terrorists? We will get to that and more of your calls coming up.
Portions of the Michael Medved Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute. To learn more, click on the Science and Culture banner at michaelmedved.com. 800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Five minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show with John West. He is the Associate Director of the Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. And he is also the author of Darwin Day in America. If you're a devoted neo-Darwinist, every day is Darwin Day, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's true. And everything keeps coming up showing Darwin's theory, even if it shows the opposite. We found with things like junk DNA, which they originally proposed as being a result of Darwinian theory, and now that junk DNA turns out to be functional, that's the result of Darwin's theory, too.
Let's go to Paul in Tampa, Florida. Paul, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Dr. John West.
Yeah, I absolutely believe in evolution. I don't think it's not a theory I had in school in biology. It's a scientific fact. And what evolution uses is what we use in our courts of law, deductive reasoning. You don't have to see someone shoot someone. If they were the only one in the house and their fingerprints are on a gun, we can deduce that they were the one. The same thing with evolution. We deduce it by the evidence. It's deductive reasoning. That's what they use in science. And we're not, people that believe it, we're not afraid of it, but we're not afraid of the other ideas. What it is that it's like saying the proofs for being a witch. Here's what they were. There was a spot on their stomach. There was this thing that they did. The cow got sick. It's the same thing. That's what creationism is. It's just a made-up thing.
I'm not sure where witchcraft comes into this. John West, do you want to respond?
Well, the evidence for design down in the level of the bacterial flagellum or to the fine-tuning of the laws of physics that allow us to exist at all can't just be explained away, and it's not like the witch's navel or whatever.
Okay, so Paul, when you say it's deductive reasoning, can you deploy some of that deductive reasoning? What do you think is the best single argument for evolution? Unaided, random...
As you go back in time, animals get less and less sophisticated.
Yeah, but by the way, I don't think you understand anything about intelligent design. Intelligent design recognizes that. It's of course true. There's no doubt at all that no one believes that human beings were created at the same time as dinosaurs, or for that matter, no one believes that today's whales were created at the same time as dinosaurs. Clearly, animals change shape and they evolved, and there's no questioning of that in any of the intelligent design texts I've ever seen.
Paul, I'd encourage you to read Darwin's Doubt. I think you're a victim of all this Darwinian rhetoric that actually focuses on all these other things. Read it for yourself and then decide.
I appreciate it, John West. Thank you. Paul, thank you for your call. Let the conversation continue. I hope some of it will continue at the Insider's Briefing coming up here in Seattle. People can find out about that going to our website, to michaelmedved.com. And by all means, read Darwin's Doubt. It'll leave you no doubt that it is worthwhile pursuing further conversation and debate in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.